Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. When we consider why did Jesus come? Why was he sent? Why did he put on flesh? In Hebrews chapter 2, we have some great admonitions from the Hebrews writer to the brethren who were, again, leaving Christianity and embracing the law of Moses. And we find in verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter 2 that God would put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels. Notice for what reason? For the suffering of death. Now, angels cannot die. We know, according to 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4, that when angels sin, there is no redemption. Yet man has the opportunity to be redeemed, to be bought back, if you will. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God is mindful of man. He takes care of man so many ways. But Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the reason of the suffering of death, but also for the reason of tasting death. We see that in verse number 9 as well. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to suffer death. Jesus came to taste death, not for those who loved him, but for those who even hated him, Romans 5, 8, and 9. Now think about this. Here we see that he tasted death for all men. But look at verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus take on flesh? To bring many sons to glory. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 17 and 18. In Romans chapter 8, 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul would say this as it relates to glory. As it relates to glory. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Here he's talking about, of course, the resurrection, the resurrected body. Jesus brings many sons to glory. How? Through his death and ultimately his resurrection. But I want to show you one more point. Look at verse number 11 of Hebrews chapter 2. It was Jesus that brings many sons to glory, then made the captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering, for both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, that's God, and those who are being sanctified, that's the Christian, are all one. They're one. Brethren, do we realize the blessing of being one with God? One with Christ. Because of the sufferings of Christ and what he went through and why he went through it, friends, there is a hope that we have. There should be a joy that we have. And if you notice, he's not ashamed to call them brethren in verse number 12. Why did Jesus come? Notice. He says, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. Notice what Jesus would be doing. Jesus is at the right hand of God. What is he doing? In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. a magnificent quote from the Old Covenant. Jesus, why did he come? In order for us to benefit. But drop down to verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have been partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, of course, taking on flesh, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. You could put 1 John 3 in verse number 8. Why was Jesus manifested? To destroy him who had power over death. Which also demonstrates to us that we should not be afraid of what's on the other side, because we know what's on the other side. What's on the other side? Eternal life with God. What's on the other side? Friends, we shouldn't be afraid of death. The one in whom we live for and live in was manifested to destroy him who had the power of death. And it tells us who that is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's nothing for us to fear as it relates to death. Well, what do you mean? Friends, we know that Jesus was manifested for various reasons. But this is amazing here, that if we trust in the Lord and keep our trust in the Lord, there are some things we don't have to be afraid of. We don't ever have to be afraid of what's on the other side. We don't have to be afraid of what Satan brings our way. We don't have to be afraid of those things, as long as we continue to trust in Jesus Christ. So here's the question. As a child of God, are you continuing to trust that the Lord is your Savior? Are we continuing to trust him in that? Because if we don't, then we're going to be afraid of death. But really, physical death is not really what we should be afraid of. Eternal death, separation from God, that's what we ought to be afraid of. But because Jesus took the power of death away from the devil, we don't have to be afraid. But maybe you're a child of God, not a child of God, and you've been contemplating studying the scriptures, contemplating the gospel message, contemplating being saved. Let us study with you. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sin. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will save you. But maybe a child of God, you need special prayer. Let us pray for you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.